Hello and welcome back to Mother Tongue, your extra set of eyes, ears and finger on the pulse for all parents around the world. I'm Marianne.
And I'm Sarah. We are your co-hosts. We catch up weekly, chatting with experts, people of interest and mamas from around the world to discuss everything relating to parenthood.
Listen in to hear more on navigating mamahood, the products we swear by and the experiences we've been through during pregnancy, motherhood, work and beyond.
Let's get going, shall we?
So how was your Mother's Day?
It was really nice, actually. Glad that it stopped raining.
Yeah, finally. The rain was wild, wasn't it?
It was wild. Our house is waterproof, it would seem, apart from the kitchen windowsill.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually fine. Do you know what? I was really dreading it. We really battened down the hatches? Battened down the hatches. We did some battening. And actually, it worked because us two, we had one small leak, bizarrely, in the same place that we had last time, which I think I talked about, which was through a light, but upstairs is still inside. So yeah. I'm really really confused as to how the water actually got there in the first place. But yeah. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of bad rain damage. I was at my friend Anna's house and thought the rain sounded very loud. And I was like, Anna, it's raining in your house, down your stairs. And the drain on her third floor was blocked.
No.
And it was, I went up there and she has the printer on the floor, router on the floor.
No.
Two extension leads.
No.
And basically the drain on the roof was blocked. And so the seals around all the doors were not sealed properly.
No.
So many towels, mops, buckets.
Oh my gosh.
I managed to unblock the drain. So that was fun. And our other friend, basement was like half a meter of water.
I mean,
the whole thing coming up through the floor where the drains can't cope.
I just no words. No. Just no words. It's actually,
it wasn't even that much rain. If you think it's just like a normal rainy day in the UK.
No, I don't think it was quite just a normal rainy day. It was catastrophic. There were times when I was literally like, oh my gosh, like where is this even coming from?
I didn't think it was that bad. I think last time when it was near the golf tournament, we weren't really warned, where this time there was so much warning. I was expecting it to be so bad. I mean, I saw you went out in the car to the mall.
Yeah.
Nutters.
We did do that. Do you know what? It was fine. We then tried to go to a birthday party in the afternoon and that was not so fun. We did not make it to the birthday party. So yeah, no, lesson learned. We then had to reroute and go and take the kids for a baby chino instead, and they were so upset that they didn't get to go to the birthday party. I was like, you don't understand, guys, it's dangerous. And Rafa kept being like, mummy, I want to be dangerous. I was like, you don't understand what you're saying, like, come on.
Oh, bless him. Well, yesterday the sun was shining, so we went out for a really nice Mother's Day rosé package with another couple.
I love that package.
Basically unlimited rosé for 3 hours and a three-course meal.
Basically brunch.
It was delightful because the boys just played on the beach and were completely entertained the whole time. My daughter is just at that tricky age where you want to walk and go down all the steps and just bugger off.
Yeah.
Doesn't sit in a high chair anymore.
No.
Was on the floor under the chairs a lot of the time, but it was great. And I took the biggest bag, like my huge mummy bag, it's like a Mary Poppins bag, and took so much stuff, and they didn't even use half of it because sand is the way forward to entertain small boys, it would seem. But I did take all my stuff in my various pouches, which is also my swear by thing. So I had like a pouch with Blake's nappies and wipes, a pouch with all the snacks, and then a pouch with all the toys. So although I had a gigantic bag, everything was so easy to grab and find.
I feel like we've spoken about these pouches before. They're from the pouches from Happy Tribe, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the ones.
I love these pouches. I feel like pouch life has become a real staple over the last couple of years. And I don't think I could ever go back now to a pouchless life. They're so helpful and so handy. At the Happy Tribe, you can personalize all your pouches. They come in all different shapes and sizes. So you can basically put whatever you want on the front of your pouch so you know exactly what's inside. I mean, at home, we have a big one for SPF, which obviously houses all our sun cream, if you didn't know, guys. We have them like fully packed to go out. So we have one which is already like ready packed with beach stuff to go to the beach. Again, the kids have their own ones that we just throw in any bag when we go out with nappies, change of clothes, wipes, all that kind of stuff. We have a pool bag that we just take if we're going to go to the pool. And then we have one that we take to restaurants, which has just got like small toys in that will keep them entertained if we go out for a meal with them. So
they're the best, honestly. So fab. I've even got them. I've got a makeup one. It says glam on it.
Oh, love.
So I've got that one. And you know, my next thing I want to do is get a small one for the Tonys.
Yeah.
The characters.
Yeah, that's a very, very good idea. But no, the Happy Tribe, I don't know if you guys have heard of them. They do all sorts now. I mean, they started with the pouches, which I believe is like the main bulk of their business, but they've also gone into clothing. They have slippers, they have drinkware, they do all forms of accessories, and they do loads of really great collections. So they've just launched their Easter Tribe collection, which
Easter
is super
amazing.
Cute. Super, super cute. But they also have stuff for your bride tribe. They have stuff for men, stuff for sleep, babies, you name it. They've got it. They've got some, I mean, God, really cute bridal hats and bridal headbands. So if anyone is organizing a hen do or going on a hen do or is a bride to be, then check them out. They have some super cute stuff on their website. Love it.
Love them as gifts. They're such a good place for gifts.
This is very, very, very good point. But no, I love them. I mean, your Mother's Day sounds so much nicer than my Mother's Day. Not that my Mother's Day was horrible, but you know when your husband's definitely been an afterthought. And he, don't get me wrong, got me a card. Stupidly, he'd obviously not remembered to get me anything. So he's like, you have an afternoon off parenting and I will get you whatever you like to. So I'm going to choose a Saturday afternoon when our nanny is not here. So he has to entertain the children by himself and I'm going to go somewhere really bloody bougie and be like, okay, you can pick up the tab. Thanks.
Yeah, nice. I like this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm like, you didn't think that one through.
I don't think Sam really thought it through. He got me a balloon, which he'd kept in the garage so it had popped. So I had like a deflated Mother's Day balloon.
Shut the fuck up. I can't cope with your husband sometimes.
A cute card, flowers.
Yeah, I got some flowers, to be fair.
And a selfie light, like a selfie ring, hold your phone thing. Yeah. All my content, because I always balance my phone when I make like a recipe reel and stuff. So I actually think
that's quite cute.
It is.
The thought is there.
Product.
But yes. Absolutely hilarious that.
How random.
Yeah.
But I will use it. So it's all good. But then there was one of my friends whose husband completely forgot.
I had a few of those.
But then he was like, after I take our daughter to her fitness class, I'm just going to go to Cara. She was like, I'm not even telling him not to. I was like, I am slightly jealous.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm a little bit jealous. I saw a friend yesterday who got a really beautiful pair of earrings for Valentine's Day. And I was again like, oh man, got a bit shortchanged on that special day too. And my husband was like, oh no, but every day is now like a women's day. I'm like, well, that is not true, is it? Oh God.
You need the presents.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my husband's actually firmly in my bear books at the moment. I won't go into details as to why, but on top of his annoyance and general stupidity, we've now gone into Ramadan, which is great. It's a really lovely time of year here in the Middle East for so many reasons. But the one thing I don't love about it is the fact that now at our British school, we have to pick our pockets a whole hour earlier and they don't eat there. I mean, I know your child is different because he gets the bus.
Yes.
But I have to now have an hour less work a day and come home and then feed my child all these things that I I assume is play for.
The feeding part it needs to change because they're going to be hungry, let's be honest.
I mean, literally, I just don't really understand. But there's been so much chat on the WhatsApp group. I don't think anyone really knows what's happening. So today could be a bit of a...
Let's see what happens today.
Yeah, but I'm already angry about it. I feel like it's Monday morning, it's 11 a.m. here in Dubai, and I feel like I'm already behind on the week, and I'm literally like, for fuck's sake, why do I have to go and get them in an hour?
Yeah.
Anyway, such is life. But we've got another very exciting episode for you all this week. We are speaking to a new mum. I feel like we haven't spoken to a new mum in a long time, a first-time mum, new mum in ages. So it was quite a fun one to relive kind of the whole like first-time pregnancy, birth, that fourth trimester. I mean, the way I feel about my husband at the moment, I don't think we'll be going for number three. I'm literally like, hate you, dick. But yeah, it was a great episode. I'm really excited to share it with you all. So Sarah, I think without further ado,
let's get going, shall we?
Today we are speaking to a new mum and reality TV star all about navigating life as a first-time mum whilst living in the limelight. Joining the SW4 Babes in 2014, our guest was introduced as the little sister of Lucy Watson in Made in Chelsea. And after a five-year stint on and off screen, she met her husband through social media, which led to marriage and her first baby, Jude. We are so incredibly excited to welcome Tiffany Watson to Mother Tank. Tiffany, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for having me on. Excited to chat and catch up.
Thank you so much for coming on. Do you know what? I feel like it has been the longest time that we've spoken to a new mum.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I actually don't remember the last time we spoke to a new mum. Do you remember?
I don't know if I can still call myself a new mum, but... What, I don't know, I guess so. 6 months.
Yeah, you're a new mum.
I'm not hanging on to it as long as I can. Yeah. I'm like, I've got a newborn. Yep. I've got a newborn. I'm like, no, I don't anymore, but I'm still saying I do.
No, I feel like you hold on to that until they turn one and then you're just you're a toddler mum and yeah, you're basically like, oh, well, no one cares.
I actually Googled that the other day. What age are they a toddler from?
It's 12 months.
Yeah, it's from 12 months.
Yeah.
That's what Google said anyway, so obviously it's correct. Google is for everything, isn't it?
Yes, so true. So true. But before we jump into motherhood, can you please tell our lovely listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I live in London. I was, well, still sometimes appear on Made in Chelsea, which is a reality show here. I recently got married, have my 6-month-old baby called Jude, do a lot of influencing and social media and showcase basically my day-to-day life.
I'm going to have to start by asking about Made in Chelsea because I feel like it would be criminal not to.
Go for it.
Sarah actually admitted before we came on air that she's never watched it.
It's not that I've never watched it. I didn't.
Here she goes. She's backtracking.
I didn't watch it all the time. Like I saw some of it, but I didn't follow it.
See, I was die hard at the beginning. Yeah. Die hard fan. I loved it.
Yeah. Do you still watch it?
I do watch it intermittently, but sadly I don't really watch any TV now because of life and children.
Yeah, that's scaring me. I love watching TV, like reality TV to switch off. And I feel like I did that a lot when Jude was first born because he was sleeping all the time and no noise distracted him. And now I'm like, I can't catch up with my children.
Well, he's a toddler.
I know. Oh, God.
Please tell us a little bit about this experience because I'm so intrigued to know what happens behind the scenes. Like, how does it work?
How did you get onto it?
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Well, I got onto it through my sister because she was on it, and they always want to get like family and friends on because they like people to join who have a connection somewhere. So that's how I joined, through my sister being on it. How does it work? It just, I don't know. I mean, they basically will call you and find out what's going on in your life. They'll ask you questions and then they'll report back to one another and basically follow what they want to follow. So you'll tell them updates in your life, and if they think it's something that's like interesting, then they would follow
it. So then they just pop up and follow you around with the camera.
So then they'll you know, say organize for you to film, and you'll be with like people that you are friends with, not just like someone who's on the show that you're not friends with. Or maybe it'll be someone you're not friends with and then you have a massive argument. But and then they'll just be like, you know, we want you to update about your argument with that this person that you had the other week, or we want you to update on what's happening with your relationship, or that sort of thing. And then it all kind of, you always start a series thinking, I really can't imagine what drama's going to happen. And then by the end, you're like, wow, a lot happened.
I mean, is it all very, very true and very, very honest? Or is there an element that is slightly, not scripted, but controlled, should be the right word?
No, everything that, all the drama that they're showing is all 100% real and stuff that's happening. But obviously it's a whole production and camera crew, and they have to show it in a way that makes sense. But no, like, it's not that I've never witnessed anything that's like, oh my God, this has been completely made up.
So interesting.
A lot happens.
Yeah. Well, I remember
some of my friends who are not on the show are like, my life's so boring compared to everyone on this show.
Who's still on the show? Are the people, because I know like Millie McIntosh and Kagi. So that was like when I used to watch it.
Yeah.
Spencer and Hugo.
It's a whole kind of new cast now. Like, my friend Liv Bentley's still on it. But I would say apart from that, a lot of them are new people that I don't really know.
What about Jamie Lang? Is he still on it?
No, he's not on it anymore. It's a whole sort of new crew.
So how long were you on it for?
I was on it for 3 years, then I left for two, and then I came back for two.
Wow. Oh God, it's been a really long time. And did you meet your husband through the show?
No. God. He would never go on it. They've asked him a few times to appear on it, but he plays football, so he's like, absolutely not going on that. I would be absolutely taking the piss out of in the changing rooms. No, we met through Instagram, which is hilarious.
Oh wow, tell us about that.
It's not a romantic story. He literally sent me a DM, and then I looked at his Instagram and I was like, he's cute. And then we met up, and it was like coming out of lockdown, so I think places were open for takeaway, but nothing was like properly open. It's gone very quickly. We've been together 3 years, so we've done a lot in 3 years. Got married, had a baby, all of the adult things. But yeah, we met through Instagram. So when like people always say, how did you meet your husband? Or someone wants to, like, some of my single friends are like, I want to meet someone. I'm like, it's Instagram, apparently. I didn't really do any of the dating sites, which I don't know if I'm sad about that or glad about it. But yeah, Instagram in itself can kind of be a dating site.
I love that. I love that. And I mean, from the get-go, were you kind of like, this is my person, let's get married and have babies?
Yeah, we were both quite decisive with the fact that we were like, yeah. I remember calling my mum after like our third date, and I was like, I think he's the one. I was going into a Made in Chelsea like filming house, because it was lockdown. We had to like do these houses. I don't know if you guys watched those series, but we had to be in like an isolated bubble. And I remember being really scared to tell them that I'd met someone. I was like, oh, they're going to be so disappointed. But I'm glad that I didn't like end it with him for like continuing on the show as a single person. It's so much easier being single on Made in Chelsea than it is in a relationship. But yeah, definitely it was worth it not to.
And tell us, how did he propose? How was the wedding? I feel like I've got to ask all these questions before we get into pregnancy and birth and everything else.
He proposed in Paris.
Ooh,
so wow. I actually organized the trip because he'd never been. So I was like, oh, let's go to Paris for the weekend. And then he's a very impulsive person, decided like a few days before the trip that he was going to propose. So I really had no idea. It wasn't like he bought the ring like a year in advance. He literally was like, a few days before, was like, I'm gonna do it. So that was a massive surprise, but obviously an amazing surprise. And then I want to get married summer 2023, because we can only do it in May or June, because he plays football, it's his off time. But he wanted to do it in 2022, so me being the lovely girl I am, pushed, like, organized everything within 8 months and did a very quick turnaround. And then we got married at my dad's, well, we got married in the local church where I grew up, and then had everyone back to my dad's, which is where my dad's house we moved into when I was six. So it holds a lot of memories for me. So it was really special. Yes. Yeah.
And then, so how quick after the wedding were you like, right, let's have a family?
I kind of hate when, as soon as you get married, then people start asking you like, you can have a baby, you can try for baby. And I was like, oh no. And I honestly felt it as soon as I got married. I remember like posting, I think I posted a recipe video and someone was like, oh, she's hiding a baby bump. And I was like, no, I'm not. And you're making me feel really shit. And I just felt this sudden pressure. And Cameron was like, you need to just ignore that. It did happen quite quickly for us. I got pregnant. Well, we got married in May and then I was pregnant in October. So ish quickly. But yeah, I think we both wanted to start a family. Maybe me more than him. As in, he always wanted a family, but he's younger than me. So I'm sure he would have been happier to wait a little bit longer. But I really wanted to have a baby. I kind of wanted that more than getting married. But I am actually glad now that I got married first.
Mm.
I think organizing a wedding with a baby wouldn't happen.
No. Can I ask, what's the age difference between you both?
It's not that much. It's like a year and a half. So he's 28 and I'm 30, but he'll soon turn 29. So it's, yeah.
I feel there is something. I was kind of the same. Weirdly, children actually weren't really on my radar when I got engaged. And then when I got married, I was like, right, well, I'm going to have babies now. And I think when you kind of, when you're nearing your 30s, you're a bit like, it's that kind of push and pull. Cause you're like, oh, I want to live my life. But then you're also a bit like, but what if I leave it? And then I really struggle.
Yeah. And I think cause I'd had a miscarriage before we even got engaged, that was kind of in the back of my mind. And I was like, oof, like, is it going to be, you know, is it going to be a difficult journey for us? So I kind of was like, I'd rather just go for it and see what's going to happen, because, you know, I never thought I'd have a miscarriage, and then I did. So I was like, I don't know what else could be in store for me. So I think that kind of made me not want to sit back and wait a bit.
No, I don't blame you. I was in your boat, actually, between kids. And there's something about, I don't know how you reacted to it, but I instantly just doubted my body. I was like, oh my gosh, something's wrong with me. I can't carry children anymore. Something's changed. And then I almost became obsessive over having a baby.
I was like, I don't want to become obsessive. I remember saying to Cameron, like, because he's obsessed with going in the sauna, I was like, oh, you shouldn't go in the sauna because it's really bad for sperm. And he was like, I don't want to become like that obsessive couple who don't do things because they want to get pregnant, because I think that will lead to like unhappiness because you become so obsessive.
Yeah.
But I think it's very hard not to. And especially when things like miscarriage have happened, because you do start doubting, and I don't think you go into it with as much confidence as if you hadn't had that.
No, totally not. I actually remember really clearly, I don't think I've ever spoken about this before, I had a miscarriage, and the next month my doctor was like, just take a month off, just, you know, don't try and have a child. And I was like, yeah, sure, okay, cool. And I was like, right, sex constantly. And I remember thinking, God, I'm definitely pregnant, I feel pregnant, I'm for sure pregnant. And we were in the UK at the time, and I was like, right, I'm gonna go and take a pregnancy test. Peed on the stick, and I was like, Adam, who's my husband, I was like, just tell me what it says. I'm thinking, I'm definitely pregnant. And he looked at it and just threw it across the bed and went, not pregnant. And I was like, oh my God, you could have delivered that news in a slightly more sensitive way. And I lost my shit.
Yeah. Oh,
bad times.
It's horrible. It's honestly, I feel for anyone going through like trying to conceive and those sort of feelings, because it's not enjoyable. I feel like, I remember doing a pregnancy test with Jude, and God, I think I did it like in the middle of the night, because I woke up and was like, I'm just going to do one in the middle of the night. I remember being like so relieved that it said pregnant, but if it hadn't said pregnant, I think again, I would have like lost my shit. And I feel like those feelings can really take over. So you have to find ways to not let it become something that you obsess over, but it's so much easier said than done.
Yeah. And I think we put so much pressure on ourselves as women.
Yeah.
And kind of blame ourselves and have all the pressure. But then when you were pregnant, how was the pregnancy for you?
First trimester, especially. Yeah.
First trimester, I didn't have too much morning sickness, which was great. I only had it for like 2 weeks. It was fine. I was just super nervous. Like, you have no indication that the pregnancy is continuing. You know, you're not at the stage where you're feeling movement. And I was just, kind of would count down the days, and I'm sure no one loves their first trimester, but yeah, I didn't enjoy it because I was like, I just want to reach a point where I feel like this is safer. I wanted to get past the point where I'd had my first, where I had my miscarriage. I wanted to get past that point. And I think after I got past that point, I relaxed slightly, but yeah, I was very anxious. Also, I found it really hard. I decided not to tell people because I just
added pressure. Want
the extra pressure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people being like, how are you feeling, like, have you had a scan? So that's hard. I felt like I was avoiding a lot of friends throughout that time. Which is never nice.
No, not at all. And just talk us through your pregnancy a little bit. How did you find each of the trimesters? Did you get any weird ailments? I mean, I remember my gums bled and thinking, oh my God, what is happening?
It's really common, isn't it?
I know, there's a lot of things that do happen that you don't, like, no one speaks about. I got a lot of in the side of my legs, like a lot of pain when I'd wake up from sleeping, I think, because I was always sleeping on my side, and I was so terrified of sleeping on my back because they say don't sleep on your back. So I would always sleep on my side, and I guess from gaining weight, I don't know what it was. My sister's pregnant at the moment, she hasn't had this at all, but I would wake up and my leg would be so sore. So that was something very strange that I used to get. I, to be fair, I had I mean, I love a lot of doing a lot of walking. I hated how I suddenly became so slow at walking, and Cameron would just like speed on ahead, and I'd be like at the back, like can't keep up.
I hated how out of breath I was when I tried to even.
I know, that's what I mean. Our bedroom's in the loft, so it's two flights of stairs. I get up there and I'm like, but I mean, I personally didn't find it was fine. I know people have a lot worse and have really bad sickness and things like that, but I didn't love being pregnant, I'd say.
No, I knew. I mean, I know that something that a lot of women find really, really tricky is the weight gain that's associated with pregnancy. And I find midwives and doctors don't make it any easier because they're like, oh, yes, you should only gain around 12 kg. Now, I gained 30. So I was obviously way out of the 12 kg range.
I do it in stone. I don't know what's 30 kg in stone.
Oh, I'm going to tell you now. 30
I mean so much.
In stone. Oh, Google, tell me. For nearly 5 stone.
Did you?
Yeah, it was bad. Bad times.
You look tiny now.
She is tiny.
Okay, well, that gives me hope. I gained 2.5 stone, so.
If you look on Instagram today, she posted the most insane when she was pregnant with Isla and now.
It's actually one of the most depressing photos. I found it the other day. It popped up as an Instagram, what do you call it?
Memory.
And I was like, yeah. Holy shit. My boobs, they were flat on my tummy. Like, you've never seen anything more unattractive in my life. How my husband thought, oh yeah, I'll go near that person was beyond me.
Honestly, like, yeah, it does scare me if I was to ever have another baby because, I mean, I weighed myself. I looked through my WhatsApp conversation. I weighed myself a month after giving birth and I was like, I didn't weigh myself throughout the pregnancy. And I was like, oh my gosh, I gained 2.5 stone throughout my pregnancy. And then I was like, okay. And then I weighed myself the other day and I've only lost 7 pounds. So I was like, well, I've got so much weight to lose. But because I'm breastfeeding, it's quite hard. Yeah. I feel like you have to eat, obviously I'm going to eat, but you want to eat a lot to make sure that you've got good milk supply. And my appetite is definitely there from breastfeeding, so it's hard. And also I'm tired, you know, you're busier, like there's less time to work out.
I think we put so much pressure on ourselves, but like you say, when you're breastfeeding, we were speaking to someone today and you need to be eating at least 500 extra calories a day to keep your supply up, and you can't be on a diet because otherwise.
No, exactly. I had no idea about any of this before having a baby or breastfeeding. I had no idea. I was like, I remember so naively thinking like, as soon as I give birth, I'm going to really get back into shape really quickly. And I'm sure there's lots of women that do, but for me with the breastfeeding, I feel like it's quite hard to be on a stricter regimen of what I'm eating because you're so hungry. And also I'm like, I don't even know if that would still happen at 6 months, but I don't want my milk supply to deplete because of not eating enough.
I think it's the same with exercise. Like, I mean, you some people just bounce back. Some it takes longer.
Exactly.
And it's finding the time to exercise. Like, we put so much pressure on ourselves to lose the weight really quickly. But actually, at the beginning, obviously the focus is your baby and, you know, you're having interrupted sleep and especially breastfeeding, it's like so full on for you in the day,
so much.
Eating and then sleeping, and then you'd want to try and get some sleep.
Exactly. And I've tried to go to the like workout classes where you take your baby, and it's just, I find I'm not focusing on the workout because I'm just focusing on, is he all right? Oh, like, I just feel, I did it once or twice and I was like, no, this is not good. It was not a proper workout for me.
If I can give one piece of advice, I would just say don't rush it. And also, if you're planning on having more children, don't bother.
No, but this is what I was going to say. I completely forgot. So I had the 1 week checkup after giving birth, and my consultant who delivered Jude was so harsh on me. She was like, what did she say? She's like, remember, you're not eating for two. Like, you need to be wearing a waist trainer. You need to make sure you're back to pre-pregnancy weight before you even think about having another baby. And she said all of these things. And I was like, oh my God, I just gave birth a week ago. And I was like, what are you even? It was a lot. I know. I was like, this is a lot. What did she say? She was like, then I put the waist trainer on the next day and that gave me the worst stomach cramps. And I was like, no, taking this thing off. It was horrible. 1 week after giving birth, I was like, that's a lot.
Terrible advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like Marianne said, don't rush it. There's plenty of time. Enjoy baby time.
Yeah, it's hard, I think, especially when you do go on Instagram and you see other girls and you think, oh, you gave birth around the same time as me and you've lost all your baby weight. And yeah, I think it is hard, but I'm trying to, I was like, I just need to do a little bit of movement every day and then I will, you do feel better for it. So trying to, that's my 2024 goal, to try and do something every day. But
give yourself time. My baby is, she's 18, 19 months now. It took me like a long time. I don't even think I started until she was like 8 months, 9 months. And that was my second child. So I feel like your first child, it's literally like your be all and end all. And because it's the first time it's happening to you, everything feels so massive and such a life changing adjustment. So when the second one comes along, you're a bit like, well, okay, well, you know, I've done this before.
Yeah. Do you think it's easier going from 1 to 2 than 0 to 1?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely. Oh, you've done it all before. So you're like, yeah, I know this. And this is a phase and it'll pass. And like Marianne said, I don't think I started working out properly until she was 7-8 months. But that's just because I was like, right, she's sleeping well.
Yeah.
She's happy. We're in a routine. Now I can carve out. I'm sleeping a bit. I can carve out some time for myself.
Yeah. I didn't really feel ready to work out up until the last few weeks, to be honest. Like before that, I was like, I really don't feel like I want to. But as of a few weeks ago, I've started to feel like, oh, I actually really want to.
So actually on that topic, tell us about your birth. Did you have a straightforward birth? Because I feel like that can massively impact how you come out of pregnancy.
That's true. I got induced because I was 5 days late. Not that they were like, you have to get induced, but they were like, if you want to, you can. So I was like, yes, I'd like to. My birth was straightforward. It was just very long. It was 26 hours. So it was a long time in hospital. Not that like the whole birth was 26 hours, but that's when I went into the hospital and then he was born 26 hours later. I had a vaginal birth and they used the Kiwi cup. But I would say on the whole, it was I was pretty lucky. I didn't tear, which is great. But I think I didn't realize how intense it'd be after. I got a lot of after pains at home, like the heavy bleeding that lasted for quite a while. There was just, it was a lot. I was like, you just feel very, I think it was like, you feel like you need to recover from this massive thing that's just happened, but then you can't really because you've got this tiny little baby that suddenly you're like, oh my gosh. And you're thinking about the baby the whole time and you're not thinking about yourself. I remember Cameron being like, oh my God, I haven't even asked you how you are because I've been so worried about him. And I was like, oh, I know. I feel like I was so, so scared. But now I hope if I was to have a baby again, I would be less nervous because I've done it before. And it almost turned into an emergency C-section, but right at the last minute they were like, oh, you're 9 centimeters, we can actually do this. So
amazing.
That was
I find it a couple of things I find really baffling. One is how women are massively prepped for birth, which is an event that, you know, in really worst case scenario, we're talking like a couple of days, like tops. But no one really preps you for the bit that comes after that. And if you're a first time mum, it blows my mind that they allow you to go into the hospital with no child, but you get to leave like a day or two later with a child. And it's like, here, there's no instructions, but go be a good mum. And as you said, postpartum comes with all sorts of weird and wonderful things. Like I remember getting severe piles from all the pushing and thinking, oh my God, what is this? And having to go to a pile doctor and him being like, right, bend over. And I was like, no, thanks.
Oh God.
And also like the blood clots that you lose.
Oh, yeah. I remember them saying to me, if you get one bigger than a 50p coin, like cool ass. And I got one that was absolutely massive. And I was like, that's bigger than a 50p coin. I remember calling them so worried, but then they went through all these questions. And they're like, no, it's fine. Just keep us posted. But yeah, that was terrifying. I remember that happening and being like, Cameron!
50p, I think one of mine was the size of my fist.
Yeah. No, honestly, this one was huge. I took a photo of it because I was like, I need to remember that. This scary thing that's just come out of me.
And you're so right. They prep you for birth and then they're like, off you go, and don't tell you what's going to happen to you or how to look after the small child while you're completely sleep deprived and recovering from a huge trauma.
To be fair, my midwife gave me a lot of information, but I don't know if that was even... It was so overwhelming. I was like, I remember writing it all down on my phone, like, okay, so this and this. And then when the midwife came for like the 2-day checkup, we were asking so many questions, and I was just, it's a lot. It's a lot. Oh, I'm so glad I'm through it, actually. I just went back to that moment. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, literally, I feel like the body does a very, very good job of blocking out the birth and kind of first, the fourth trimester, as they like to call it.
I know. I didn't really do any NCT, so I kind of just, I didn't organise for anyone to come and help me. And then I remember after like 2 days, I messaged my mum and my sister, and I was like, I need your help. I need you guys round every day. I need your help. And then they were amazing. They took it in turns coming up to help me, because I was like, can't do this.
Oh, we had quite interesting times, didn't we? First children, COVID, and second children. Well, I mean, fine, but no family out here and no.
Like, no, but come on. Stuff. No, I feel like we have it easier. We both have nannies. We're very, very lucky.
We do now.
And our children are in school. So second time around, it was a breeze, to be fair. Much easier.
It's so good for having like help, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. We're extremely lucky. And everything's at the touch of a button. You're like, oh, someone come and do my laundry, please. And someone will come and deliver milk, please.
I would just like it when you come out of hospital to have the aftercare that you have in the UK, where they come to your house, you know, just...
Oh, is it not like that there?
You don't have anyone.
You've got to go to the hospital. Really? Which I spent my life there, especially because my second child struggled to latch. And breastfeeding is another thing as a first-time mum, which is such a mountain. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with breastfeeding?
I feel I've been quite lucky. Like, we haven't had any major issues. Like, he latched and didn't get mastitis or anything. I had a lactation consultant come at like week 6, but to be honest, she really overwhelmed me with, I don't know, she was trying to tell me they had a tongue tie, but then was like, but he might not have a tongue tie. It was very stressful and confusing. But I didn't prep myself for the whole cluster feeding stage. So I remember texting my midwife on the first night we got back, and I was like, I don't really know what's going on, but he's not, like, he just wants to be feeding the whole time. And she was like, oh yeah, I can't remember what she called it, the night tooth syndrome or something. She was like, your milk's coming in basically, and you need to just keep going. There were so many times where I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. I'm giving up. But I am glad I pushed through that stage. If I was to give advice to anyone, is to push through that cluster feeding stage, because that is hard.
Did you pump?
My mum would like scare me so much. She'd be like, if you pump, you're going to get mastitis. And I'd be like, oh my God. And I was like, but I want to pump. It's like, you can't. So my midwife was like, wait until after week 6. But then people would be like, if you leave it too long, they won't accept the bottle. So I was like, oh God, there's so many different directions. I did pump. I still do pump. I don't really love pumping. I've said that a few times on Instagram. I find it, I don't know what it is about it. Because when I do it, I feel really good for doing it. Because then I'm like, oh, I've got freedom. Like, I can leave Jude with my mum and I can go off and she's got the milk and it's all good. But I don't know what it is about pumping. I just don't enjoy it. I mean, I'm sure there's not anyone out there who's like, I love pumping, but I think next time I would definitely take advantage of the time when your milk's like in oversupply, and I do a lot of catching and freezing. I didn't do any of that. So yeah, Cameron's always like, why have you not pumped? Like, I could give him the last feed, you could go to bed. And
it's so time consuming to find the gap to do it as well.
I'm like, when do people do it? Because everyone's like, do it first thing in the morning. But then I don't know, I just get distracted by so many other things that you meant to do first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Did you guys pump?
I did, but only with my first. I was obsessed with breastfeeding, pumping, not giving him a bottle, and would literally spend my entire life either pumping or feeding.
That's the thing. I'm just like, I don't want to, because I'm breastfeeding, and then I'm like, if I'm pumping, then I'm thinking about pumping, and then it's just, everything that comes with
it. You need to have a life, and I didn't. And then the sad thing was, is he was allergic to my milk, so I had to stop anyway, and I had bags of it in the freezer. Like, I mean,
Oh my gosh, what did you do with it?
When we weaned him back on to milk, or normal milk, I would put it in porridge and milk and
that's good
stuff like that.
Other people use other people's milk, don't they?
You can give it to, like, donate it.
So I've got a friend who's got like a whole freezer full, but her baby won't take a bottle.
Oh god.
So I'm like, god, I wish I had a whole freezer full. Jude will take a bottle, but I just I'm just terrible at it. I keep saying I need to get better at it, but
nah.
Yeah, but if breastfeeding's working for you, then
stick with it.
I know, but I would like to
have a bit of freedom,
a bit more freedom. Yeah, because I mean, it's just another thing to think about. Which pump did you guys use?
I actually had an LV and a Medela.
Yeah, I had both of those.
Yeah. One of those. I can't really remember what it was, but it was really good. It was just, the LV was amazing. I used that a lot. And the Medela was really effective. It got loads of milk out, but literally it sounded like I was being milked like a cow. Yeah.
Yeah. Other thing I found really good is the Hacker.
Yeah. That's amazing.
You ever used that where you just put that on the one you're not feeding?
Yeah. And then you just squeeze it.
Mm. Yeah. You squeeze it and it suctions on, and then you're feeding on the other boob. And I always found that so good.
Oh, really? Okay, I might give that another go. I might try that again.
Mm. And I mean, speaking of products, have there been any hero products throughout your pregnancy and postpartum journey that you really loved?
I absolutely love the baby carrier. That's been like something that we've pretty much used every day since he was about 6 weeks old. We've got the Nael.
Mm.
That's been so handy. He's definitely a boy that loves his contact naps and his being close. And I just... yeah, I'm just like, thank gosh. I went to go see my friend the other day who's just had her second baby, and she's like, she doesn't want to be put down. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was like, you need a carrier. You need one of those. You put them in. They're all happy. You're happy. You can get stuff done. So that I would highly recommend for anyone. Yeah, that's been so handy. What else have we loved?
What about pram? What pram are you using? Or car seat?
Oh, we've got a Nuna pram, and then we've got, what's it, the yo-yo, which I love because obviously it's so easy to just fold that up and then the take it out. Yeah, I feel like everyone's got a yo-yo.
Very light and easy to travel with.
Exactly. And he really likes sleeping. Well, he did love sleeping in the like lying down part of that, because I think it's quite small and like snuggly. So that's been really great. The Baby Bjorn bouncer, I use that a lot. He's no longer into it now, but he loved that in the first 6 months. He'd happily sit in there and I'd be able to get a few things done. So that's, I feel like that's, again, something that everyone, I feel like everyone needs that. What else is there? There's so many things. I've got a whole room full of stuff.
And that's the thing, you buy so many things and it's like, which one, you never know which one they're really be into.
Well, that's the thing. It's like trial and error. And Cameron's like, do we need 5 prams? And I'm like, well, yes, we do, because he didn't like this one, but he might like this one. The Docker Tot, that was good when he was really little. Mm. Obviously, wouldn't be in that now. Now I've got horrible plastic. I've got a Jumperoo, which I hope no one gives me mum shame for, but he likes that.
Get ready for all the plastic.
Yeah, all the bright coloured plastic. I've made peace with it. I'm like, if it makes him happy, then I'm happy with it. But Cameron will like try and tidy it away into another room. I'm like, no, bring it back, because we need it in this room. Baby Maury as well for clothing, absolutely love. Mm. I always buy them for my friends now if they're having a baby. They're so soft, the little baby grows. I absolutely love those. Mm,
yeah, it's a beautiful brand.
It's so nice.
And then just coming on to the highest highs and the lowest lows, is there anything that you've struggled with postpartum, mentally or physically?
Yeah, I think a lot. I mean, I think the thing with me is I'm really bad when there's stuff that needs to be done. And I, like, if the house is a mess, I feel like I won't be able to relax until it's tidy. And I think I need to get better at accepting that at certain times the house isn't going to be tidy, or the to-do list is not going to be ticked off every single time. And just, I don't know, just not always being like, just being able to be okay with sometimes things don't get done. Because obviously you never know what's going to happen that day with the baby. You never know what mood they're going to be in. You never know if they're going to have a long nap or if they're going to suddenly refuse a nap. So I think that's definitely been a struggle for me. Just, I'm very like on it with my, oh, I want to get this done today. And if I don't get it done, then I feel like a failure because I haven't got it done. So I need trying to get better at not being so hard on myself with that. And what else? I think having a dog and a baby is hard. I didn't realize it would be as hard as it has been, because my dog's got a lot of energy and obviously she was used to being the center of attention, and now she's had to take a bit of a back seat. So that's been an adjustment.
What dog have you got? What breed is it?
I've got a golden retriever.
Quite a lot of energy and need quite a lot of walking and attention.
Yeah, exactly. So that's been interesting.
How did you find when you brought Jude home and their introduction and feeling comfortable with them being around each other?
I was really nervous because she's quite boisterous and I was like, tiny little baby, don't want you to like squash. But she was very good at sort of staying away for the first few weeks. No, I do. I feel bad. That's the thing. I feel bad a lot of the time because I'm like, oh, she's not getting as much attention as she used to. She's not getting as, like, I take her on a walk every single day, but she would have like a 2-3 hour walk if she could. And I'm like, I can't do that at the moment. So there's a lot of dog mum guilt happening. But hopefully as he gets older, they'll be the best of friends.
Exactly. Be toddling around and playing together.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember seeing something. I've got cats. I'd much rather have a dog. They said when you bring the before you bring the baby home, give your husband a item of clothing the baby's worn and take it home so the dog can smell it and the animals can smell it and get used to them before you bring them home. So they're not like right on the baby trying to get used to that new smell and that new person. Oh,
that's a good idea. Yeah, I my stepmom said to put the baby in the dog basket or something. put the baby in the dog basket for a bit sit him in there so that the dog knows. But I was just like, oh, I don't know. I think my dog, she likes to be centre of attention. She's always been like that. So I don't think she'd ever be like, oh, I'll just take a backseat kind of thing. Yeah, walking the two of them together is a challenge.
Yeah, I can imagine. And then other things that you found really rewarding versus really challenging. What has been the most rewarding part of your motherhood journey so far versus what's been the most challenging?
I think it's just him developing his personality, his first smile, his first laugh, like the way he like recognizes you when you walk into a room and like smile, like it just, I don't know, that's all of that just makes it so worth it. And it just, I don't know, I feel like just little best friend that you've now got, and all of that is just 100 times and over rewarding. And just, yeah, I think, don't know, I feel like that's the only way to explain it. He's just, I feel like it's going to get better and better, and that's what excites me. And I'm like, I can't wait to just see how he develops and all the different things he's going to learn, like what he's going to be like. So yeah, It's been amazing, I think.
Oh, that's so nice.
I'm so excited for my sister to have a baby in a few months' time as well.
What will the age gap be between them then? Does she know what she's having?
Having a boy.
Oh.
Yeah. I really thought she was going to have a girl, but she's having a boy. It's going to be 9 months. So it's literally going to be nothing
that's
at all.
Nice.
I know.
You will be the go-to for all questions because you would have
I
literally
think we're going to be really different, like though, in like mother styles. Yeah. So I'm like, I've already decided I'm not going to give my advice unless asked. No, I think she's very set on like, I need my sleep. I want a really like routine from the get-go. Whereas I'm more like, if there's a social thing, I'll kind of flex the routine because I don't want to not have a social life. So yeah, I think we'll be quite different, but no, I'm so excited. She said she's going to get bunk beds at some point in her house so they can have like little sleepovers and all of that. It's just like so many exciting things to come. We've booked a nice holiday together as well for next summer. That'll be really
fun.
Oh my God, so nice.
Yeah. So much to look forward to.
I know.
Before we start to round this up today, my final question for you is, how has your relationship changed since becoming a mum? Because I feel that we all know that our relationship takes a major battering or backseat when a child comes on the scene. How have you found that transition?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I think like me and Cameron were very lucky that we would like have small arguments pre-baby, but we never had big arguments. But and we still don't have big arguments, but it's definitely different because we argue a lot more about smaller things. And it's also like, I feel like we don't have as much time, the two of us, because it's either like, can you have Jude so I can go do this, or I'll have Jude so you can go do this. It's hard. I think I throw it in his face, not throw it in his face, but like obviously I'm doing the breastfeeding in the nights, so I resent him a bit for him not having to wake up in the night, sleeping, and then he'll be like, you're so grumpy today, God, you're so sensitive today. Or so yeah, there's a lot of that. But he's definitely, I think he found the first bit really hard because that when they're first born, it's like, you know, eat, sleep, there's no real interaction, and he was kind of like, I don't know how to help. He knew nothing when it comes to like routines or anything to do with that. He doesn't like the idea of a routine, so I've had to kind of explain to him why that's beneficial for us.
Yes.
But I think hopefully we're through the harder phase and we're in a nicer phase. He's definitely trying to help me a lot more at the moment and like give me some alone time, so that's been really good. And yeah, I think, you know, you just, you become you just have to become like a team and you have to try and think about the other person. But it's so easy to resent someone if he says like, I'm going. Also with his job, it's hard because he plays football. So it's like the biggest thing for them is their body recovery, sleep, like eating well, sleeping, like all of those things. So yeah, it is very easy to resent one another. But I think the main thing is to just be really open with one another and communicate when something's pissing you off, not let it build up. But yeah, no, I mean, it definitely changes, that's for sure.
You said it.
Well, it was the same experience for me in terms of the first 6 months. I think dads try and help, but they can't do that much, especially if you're feeding and you're up in the night. They can't do any of that and you do resent them. But then once it's, you know, 7 months onwards and they've start to smile and they've got that little personality, and I feel like they come into their own a bit more, then slightly balance out.
Certainly.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, I think it's definitely balancing out more now, which is really nice. But again, I didn't know any of this. So it was all a learning thing. I kind of thought it would be really equal at the beginning, which maybe for some people it is.
Just get pumping more and then it will be even more.
Exactly. I know. Honestly, he's like, oh, why haven't you pumped? I'm like, oh, stop it.
Before we say goodbye today, I have to ask, if you were to give one big tip and your favorite product recommendation related to motherhood, what would they be?
I think my tip would be, I remember a midwife saying this to me on the day I left the hospital, being like, just don't listen to other people and follow your gut. And I remember being like, well, that's, I don't know what I'm doing, so I can't follow my gut. But the more and more I get into it, the more and more I'm like, yes, I'm glad I'm doing that. And you are the person that knows your baby the best. So I really think listening to your gut as much as you can and not just taking someone's advice, unless making sure you tune in with what you think, because you know your baby best. And my product, shall I go for something overall or something that right now in the 6 month stage?
6 month stage.
6 month stage. Okay. I bought actually one of the play mat that I've got. Yes, Totter and Tumble. I just ordered one of those and I really love it. It looks nice in the house as well. So that's one thing that looks nice.
I love my Totter and Tumble.
They're great.
It's so
they're
good. Incredible. Yeah, my friend told me to get one and I was like, oh, I don't know, but I'm so glad I did. And yeah, he's loving that as well. So that's been really great recently.
They're so big and I love it that you can switch it to the other side.
And not a total eyesore.
Yeah, and exactly, not a total eyesore.
Yeah, which is not the same for most products on the market.
No, exactly.
And Tiffany, before we say goodbye, what's next? Anything for us to look forward to? Are we going to see you back on our screens anytime soon?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually got a catch up with them tomorrow. So yeah, I'd love to do some more filming. So yeah, hopefully do a bit of that. And then what is next? I mean, just more of everything, basically. I'm very happy with how everything's going. So I just want to do as much as I can and do more of it. So yeah.
Amazing. And for anyone who wants to reach out, say hi, find you, where can they look you up?
So on Instagram, I'm TiffanyC_Watson. So that's probably my main place. So yeah, come find me there.
Amazing. And as always, everybody, feel free to rate, review, subscribe. If you've liked this episode, leave us a little comment. And you can find us on Instagram at We Are Mother Tongue. Tiffany, you've been incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Just keep us posted.
Definitely.
All the things. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Mother Tongue. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, please feel free to rate, review, subscribe and leave a comment. We always love to hear from you. Your support really means the world to us. And if you know any mums or mums-to-be who'd be interested in listening to our podcast, please feel free to share. You can also find us on Instagram at We Are Mother Tongue. Until next time, mamas.